Welcome to Power for Victorious Living. We believe the gospel and the kingdom of God have real answers for every area of your life. Get ready to discover the answers you need and the power that can change your life. Each show, you will receive practical, biblical insight as you hear a clear, creative, and encouraging message to help you understand how the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life. And now, here's your host, Wes Harden.
What happens when a Christian sins? Today, we're going to look at what the Bible says about this topic, so stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We're so thankful to have you here tuning in with us here again today. Hey, no matter where you're tuning in from, we just want to say thank you. Maybe you're in a balloon, maybe you're in a submarine. I don't know, but we just want to say thank you. Hey, listen, if you haven't done it yet, go give us a 5-star rating on the platform that you listen to, Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or Amazon, I think Amazon Music or iHeartRadio, any platform that you're listening to this, help us to reach more people by giving us that 5-star rating review. Let us know how this has helped your life, and we pray this has been a blessing for you. So if you could do that, that would help us to reach more people. And hey, listen, we're going to go ahead and get kicked off. So we're going to continue our Revelation of Righteousness series. This will be part 6, and this is going to have several more episodes, and we're going to talk about a lot of really common questions that we don't necessarily hear good biblical answers to. And so we really want to cover this. And so that's my goal with this. And anything I teach is I try to systematically, you know, if I had somebody that just got, you know, born again and saved and come to know the Lord, I want to give them some tools to where they can take their Bible out, seek the Holy Spirit, and begin to study and systematically understand what happened at the new birth and their relationship with the Lord and who they are in Christ. And I want to just systematically walk through these things, because I know if I'd have had these years ago, these truths would have dynamically transformed and benefited my life, and my relationship with the Lord would have been a much more full and rich relationship, because I would have understand how He sees me through the blood, and what happened at the new birth. And so that's what I want to do, is I'm trying to systematically, you know, piece together things that will really help, you know, if you just got saved yesterday, or if you've been saved for 20 years or 50 years or whatever, things that will really help us as Christians. Because really, what we know, knowledge, you know, by Hosea 4:6, God says, "For lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed." So, you know, knowledge, faith comes by hearing, which is knowledge. So faith is based on knowledge, you know, understanding everything that Christ died for us and gave to us via the cross. It comes through knowledge, and, you know, and having a correct knowledge, accurate knowledge about who God is. You know, Peter says that. I think it's a book of 2 Peter. He says that His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, but it's through the knowledge of Him. And if we have an incorrect knowledge of Him, you know, then that's going to hinder our reception and how we receive from Him. Because the world and the devil are constantly trying to assassinate the character of God. And so if you have an incorrect understanding of His character and who He is, then that's going to hinder your ability to receive from Him, because you're going to think that He's mad at you and that, you know, He doesn't love you and all these different things. And so that's why we want to go to the scripture, go to the Word, and see, hey, what does God, what does Your Word say about who I am? What does Your Word say about who You are? What does Your Word say about our relationship and my stance with You? You know, and so the Word of God is true. You know, when I began to understand that the Word of God was absolutely true and began to seek that, man, I began to have questions that I had for a long time just lingering in my head, in my thought life, that when I began to really seek the Word and seek the Lord, then those questions began to be answered, you know. And so that's what I want for you. And so the truths that we're going to cover today are foundational to your relationship with God. You know, people may think, well, Revelation of Righteousness, this isn't about you trying to be, and even that's the title, Revelation of Righteousness. Stop trying to be what you already are. See, a lot of Christians, they may see the title of righteousness and think, oh, they're just trying to get us to do something, you know, and be good. Well, really what this is about is understanding what happened at the new birth, and that God made you right through the new birth, and you have right standing through that. And if you haven't listened to parts 1-5, I encourage you, go back and listen to those. And these are going to build one on top of another, and you need to understand those truths. And so go back, and this is going to bless you. This is going to help enrich your relationship with God. It's going to give you confidence to enter boldly, as Hebrews says. And so I really want these truths to get in you. And so you've going to have to get the Word out, as you hear me say multiple times. Listening on the go is great, but you need to Stop, get your word out. You know, when I mention a scripture and I'm talking about it in context, that's why I try to mention, I'm not just going to come here and give you opinion. I'm trying to give you as much scripture as possible to back up what I'm saying, because it's not about, I'm not here trying to give you my opinion. I'm trying to simply help teach God's word and teach it how he wants me to and represent him the way that I'm supposed to represent him. And I think that should be our goal all collectively as believers is, hey, this is his message. Romans chapter 1 says that the gospel is his message to the world. Well, I'm not going to come in and try to just tell you my message. My job is to find out what God's message to the world is and then deliver that message with the best of my abilities, because it is his message. It is his gospel. He's the one that died and bled for the world, and so it's his message of how he can reconcile the world and that he's paid for your sins. And so it's not my message to say whatever I want. I need to be saying what he says and then be a good steward of those truths. And so the truths of what we're talking about today, they're really going to help you, and they're foundational to your relationship with God. So here's the thing. If you tie God's acceptance of you to your performance, you're always going to come up short, and you're always going to you're going to feel condemned. You're never going to have a sense of confidence that your prayers can be answered and stuff. And so this is important. We got to understand what happened when we got saved, okay? Because when you understand the Bible truths of what we're covering today, you're going to have a lot more confidence to approach God. And I'm not approaching him in confidence based on what I've done. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is, God, I'm coming to you and approaching you by faith and in confidence based on what you did in me in the new birth. And so I want to do a quick review. And you say, Wes, well, you like to review a lot. Well, here's the thing, is that repetition is the mother of retention. What does that mean? Going over something over and over and over helps it to get from your head to your heart, and you really begin to soak. And it's like a seed. I'm planting seeds. When you hear the word preached, it's like a seed. And Jesus said that in Mark chapter 4. So just because you hear it the first time doesn't mean that it clicks and you have revelation. So hearing it over and over, I mean, I've read scriptures that I've read multiple times, hundreds and thousands of times, and I get a new revelation. Oh, that I finally see. So you need a revelation. And that would be my prayer to you. And it's what I prayed before I start each and every podcast, is I pray, God, give me and the listeners a revelation of your word, because you need a revelation. You don't just need information. See, there's people out there and they teach the word and it's not exactly accurate, because they're just trying to approach the word of God, and they're studying it with their head, and they don't ever actually seek the Holy Spirit to give them revelation, and they have information, and sometimes they miscue stuff or misinterpret stuff because they're trying to interpret it outside of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that authored the book. Paul says that the Bible is God breathed. So in order for us to understand his word, we really have to seek the Holy Spirit. If he's the one that inspired it to be written, then he can help teach us and tell us what he means and what he says in his word, in God's word. And so let's just do a quick review. And so last episode, we talked about that when you get saved, you're going to have to introduce yourself to the new you, to your new nature. Because when you get born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, they are presently, currently, right now, a new creation. So when you get saved, you've got to understand, we've been talking about spirit, soul, body, that you got to understand how God made us. And because the gospel is not going to make sense until you understand that dynamic, that you're a trichotomy, you're a spirit, you have a soul, a mind, will, emotions, and a conscience, and you live in a body. And we get that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where it tells us that we are a spirit, the real person on the inside, the person that gets born again, because you're born of the spirit, right? You are a spirit man. You were born with a fallen sin nature, as we see. So we're going to talk about next. But you are a spirit, and that's the part of you gets regenerated and recreated and stuff. And then you have a soul, which is your mind, will, emotions, and conscience. For the longest time, the church has interpreted soul as the part that gets saved. That's really just your mind, will, emotions, and your conscience. And it does get sanctified through the washing of the water word. What does that mean? Your mind gets renewed. You were born with a fallen sin nature, that your spirit, and then that sin nature it compelled you and drove you to sin, right? And then that sin nature trained, the way you think. It trained your brain to think a certain way through living in a fallen world and around fallen people, and then being born with that fallen sin nature. Our mind gets trained or programmed like a computer to think certain ways. So when you get saved, your spirit gets regenerated, but then your mind has to be reprogrammed to think in alignment with that you're born again spirit on the inside of you. And then obviously your body is going to follow suit. And so So we see that here. Your spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. So here's the thing. Review is we're talking about, we're reviewing here. Everyone, and I mentioned it, is born, everybody is born with the fallen sin nature because of what Adam did. And we get that from Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And then we also get that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, you were by nature, talking about your spirit man on the inside, you were by nature children of wrath. What does it mean? When you were born, see, Adam, when he sinned, after he sinned, that his spirit on the inside of him, it died. He didn't die physically immediately, but he died spiritually inside of him, and he was separated from God. Well, then when him and Adam and Eve, and same thing for Eve, and then when Adam and Eve, then they had children, then every child born after that was born with that fallen sin nature, okay? And so then it's passed on through all millennia and generations to me and you and to everybody. So everybody is born with a fallen sin nature because of what Adam did. See, everybody's headed to hell because of what Adam did. You're not a sinner because you sin. You're a sinner because you were born that way in Adam. But you can be born again in Christ and get a new nature. And we talked about how hell is determined by which nature you have. Everybody's born with that sin nature, but you can get a new nature through the new birth. That's why it's called being born again. Born again where? In my spirit. Jesus said that in John chapter 3. Okay, he says, do not marvel. I think it's verse 7, John chapter 3. He says, do not marvel. Right? Don't wonder why I'm telling you, you have to be born again. There is no way to get to heaven apart from you getting a new birth, a new nature. So heaven and hell are determined by which nature. We're all born with the fallen sin nature, but anybody that believes upon Jesus can receive that new nature and be born again and be born with the righteousness of God. So, and then here I just mentioned that. So when you get born again, and when you get saved, you get a new spirit, right? We get that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and there's some other scriptures there. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says that he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing in the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your spirit got regenerated and recreated by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says that it talks about the spirit, the spirits of men made perfect. See, it's your spirit, as we're going to talk about, that is made perfect at salvation. And then you're that new nature. Like I said, that new nature is born from the Spirit of God. And that was the very first episode in this series. We talked about, well, why is a llama a llama? Well, it was born that way. Why is a giraffe a giraffe? It was born that way. Well, why are you righteous? If you're saved and born again, why are you righteous right now? Not because of your actions, but because you are born again that way. You were born again the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And you were born, and that new spirit is born and birthed of God's Spirit via the Holy Spirit, right? Recreated, righteous and holy. And we get that from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Go back through, stop, listen, and meditate on these scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to show you these things. Because when you begin to see these, man, your relationship with the Lord is going to be so much, you're going to be excited about your relationship because you're going to see, wait, I'm righteous because of what he did. And now I can come boldly before him. And then you're not going to be up and down like a yo-yo because you're going to realize, well, if I mess up, my righteousness is based on the new birth. My right standing with God didn't change. And if I do good, you're not going to get into self-righteousness thinking, oh, well, God accepts me because of my self-righteousness. No, self-righteousness, that's the only people that God can't save, right, is self-righteous people. And we're going to talk about the purpose of the law. God sent the law to make sure that everybody knew, hey, you cannot save yourself and you need a savior. And we'll talk about the purpose of the law and stuff. But self-righteous people, that's the only people that God can't save, is because if you think, oh, well, I can do it myself, then you don't think you need a savior. Even though you do, you think you don't need a savior, and so you're going to enter in eternity thinking, oh, well, I did enough good stuff, and just to find out, wow, okay, I needed a new birth. No amount of good stuff could ever change the nature on the inside of me, and then by then it's too late. So that, man, that's so powerful right there. All right, so here's the thing. When you were born again, you became a brand new creature. And we get that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And then it says, and then we talked about how God is pleased with his workmanship. So, and we get that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where when God creates that brand new spirit, he didn't create junk. He didn't recreate an unrighteous spirit on the inside. He created a perfect, righteous, pure, and holy, born-again spirit recreated on the inside of you. and it's according to his ability, his craftsmanship. So, you know, a builder, they build something, and that what is created reflects their abilities and their talents. Well, when God recreated that spirit on the inside of you, it reflects his ability, his character, his talent. Right? So he made a perfect spirit inside of you. So he's pleased with the workmanship. He's pleased with his own workmanship that he created in you. Right? So when you're like, God, is God pleased with me? Well, are you saved? Yeah. Then he's pleased with you because he is relating to you. And I've mentioned this before when preaching, that God relates to you based upon the perfection that he recreated in you in your born again spirit. So of course he's pleased with you. He's pleased with his own work. Right? Okay. And then we go through Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, that says that he presents us in his sight, blameless, holy, and above reproach in his sight through the new birth, right? Through Jesus, through the death of Jesus, through Jesus' flesh, God presents us to himself, blameless, holy, and above reproach. You can go read that. And you say, well, that doesn't sound right. Well, when I was reading that scripture, I asked God, is that really the case? Man, because it's hard to say, it's hard to think, because I know that I mess up and stuff. And I'm like, God, is that how you really see me? He said, and he began to speak and show me things. And it's like, yeah, because it's based on the new birth. See, that what you've got to understand, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, the Old Testament was based upon your performance and all those things. And we're going to get that to that one day and talk about the purpose of the law and all that stuff. The new covenant is based upon your receiving Christ by faith, and then God creates a brand new spirit in you, and then you relate to God based upon the new birth that happened in you. That's your right standing. That's your confidence. It's not in your actions and what you do. Your confidence, this covenant is based upon what he did in you. The old covenant was based upon your performance, okay? And so if you don't understand that, you're going to carry an Old Testament mentality of thinking that, well, I've got to do this and I got to do that, and you think that God relates to you based upon that. And then you carry that mentality into the new birth, and it's, no, you walk by faith. You walk by faith in the blood of Jesus. The Romans says, chapter 3 says that we receive the blood of Jesus by faith. I think it's verse 25. Well, me having faith in the blood is saying, God, I believe in that the sacrifice that you provided, which was Jesus and his blood, I believe it was enough to give me right standing with you. See, God sent Jesus as a sacrifice for you. And so when you receive salvation, you are believing in the sacrifice that God himself provided for you. And so you're saying, if you say, well, that's not enough, you're saying, God, Jesus is enough. This sacrifice that you provided isn't enough. No, and then you're putting more confidence in your own works. You're saying that your performance is more powerful than the blood of Jesus, more powerful than his sacrifice? No way. Because if that was the case, Hebrews says that tells us that if that was the case, if your actions could have saved you, man, or Galatians says that, if your actions could have saved you, Jesus died in vain. But your actions couldn't save you. Why? Because it couldn't give you a new nature, and only the new birth through faith in Jesus can give you a new birth. Okay, so let's continue on. So then after God creates this born-again, perfect, righteous, and holy born-again spirit on the inside of you, then at that moment, the new nature is sealed by the Holy Spirit, okay? We get that from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, all right? And it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, okay? And then Paul also mentions this in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 30, and also in 2 Corinthians 1, 22, and you can go look at that. So God creates his new spirit on the inside of you, perfect, and then he seals it. Okay, so when you were born again, your spirit was immediately encased or vacuum packed. You know, like you think about, like if you maybe on TV you see the late night TV stuff where they have like the vacuum packed seal. You put steaks or veggies in there, and it sucks out all the air and stuff, and then it's vacuum packs it and seals it, and it preserves, you know, the meat or the veggies and stuff. And so it's vacuum packed, it's sealed, right? Why? It's sealed to preserve, to protect the contents, okay? So that's what this is talking about. So when you were born again, your spirit was immediately encased or vacuum packed or sealed by the Holy Spirit, what? For the purpose of preservation, just like with that there with the late night TV specials and stuff, right? The infomercials, that's the word I was looking for. So that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. So back to our question, what happens when a Christian sins? Okay, so today that's what we're going to talk about. So let's think about this. So what makes us different from what we were before conversion is that now we have a new nature, okay? See, before you get saved, you didn't have that new nature, but now you do. So when you sin, it actually grieves you to sin, okay? When you mess up, it actually grieves you to sin. Why? Because your born-again spirit on the inside of you wants to do nothing but the will of God, and we're going to talk about that. Your born-again spirit on the inside of you is perfect. You can sin in your thoughts, and you can sin in your actions, but your spirit, it's perfect. It's created perfect, and all it wants to do is the will of God. But if you're dominated by the mind, Romans chapter 8 says that the mind governed by the flesh is death or enmity, right? But the mind governed by the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit and your spirit man. So your spirit man wants to do nothing but the will of God. And so when your mind is governed by the Holy Spirit and your new spirit man on the inside of you, your mind has been retrained to think like that, then there's life and peace, right? So it actually grieves us to sin, and we don't want to sin. You know, if you talk to somebody and they get saved, you notice, like I was fishing with a gentleman the other day, and he had a radical testimony. And he's like, I don't even, you know, he's talking about how he didn't even crave the things that he did before. And why? Because the real him, which is the spirit man on the inside, got changed. So his desires changed. Now his mind still has to be renewed, and he'll have some wrong thinking that, you know, his mind was programmed by the old man on the inside of him. So he'll have to get that thinking renewed to the Word of God, right? So, but here's the thing, is that the real him, which is a spirit, and we covered that in the first part of this series, that the real you is a spirit. So when you die, James says that the body without the spirit is dead. Well, your spirit is the real you. And it's just simply an earth suit, which allows you, a spirit being, to operate or dwell in this dimension, which is the natural realm. And apart from that, you can't function, right? You can't function or do anything in this realm unless you have a earth suit, just like you need a space suit in order for you to operate in that dimension. The real you's on the inside, but the suit allows you to function in that dimension or in that realm of space. Well, it's the same thing. You are a spirit. The real you is a spirit, and this earth suit, your body, allows you to function in the natural realm. So when you get born again, your spirit is recreated. It's a brand new creation. It's a new creation, something that did not exist before. And so then it grieves you to sin, and we don't want to sin. And in fact, it says that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. It says that he who has this hope, talking about this hope of salvation, he who has this hope in him, in Jesus, purifies himself. So if I'm saved and I have this hope of salvation, then I want to purify myself. Why? Because the real me wants, the born again spirit wants to do the things of God. It just like the old sin nature compelled and drove me to sin, this new righteous nature compels me and wants me to do righteousness. But if my mind, which was trained by the old man, the old spirit, is more dominant, it's going to suppress that spirit man on the inside of me, and my life can still have carnage and all this destruction in it because I'm dominated by the wrong old thinking of the old man. So if I can just get my mind renewed to the new man and to the Word of God, then I can, and it's dominated by the Spirit and by the Holy Spirit and by my born again spirit, then there's life and peace. And that's what Romans chapter 8 is talking about. So today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about what happens when a Christian sins, okay? So do we need to get saved again, okay? Do we need to get saved again? And the answer is no, okay? That's the short answer, right? And we're going to talk about if you look, actually, you can't get born again. Hebrews chapter 6, you can go read that. You can't get born again, and that'll raise a lot of questions. We're going to cover that, okay? But let's start with, you know, what happens when a Christian sins, and do we need to get saved again? No, okay? So let's look at this. Remember, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him, Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Jesus, you also, having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so remember I said the Holy Spirit seal, it keeps the good in and the bad out. I mentioned that last episode. So the Holy Spirit, it's like that vacuum pack seal. It keeps the good in. God creates this perfect, born-again, righteous spirit on the inside of you according to his workmanship that he's pleased with, and then he seals it. So give me an example. So, you know, like growing up, my on my dad's side, his parents, my grandparents on my dad's side, we had big gardens and all those things. And so we'd, you know, have black eyed peas and banana peppers and, you know, all kinds of stuff, okra and corn and all that stuff. So if we had, you're obviously going to have more than you can eat right then. So you want to preserve it for another day. So we would can it. Okay. So you would have like this big boiling pot of water, and then you would have these mason jars. You'd put the, you know, if it's tomatoes or okra or whatever you're trying to can, you put that in there, and then you get it, you know, super heated up and all that stuff. And I'm trying to remember the process. I'll probably say something wrong. So if you know about canning and I don't, you have to forgive me. But then you put the seal on there and stuff, and then it heats up and it gets all the impurities and stuff, you know, basically out. It vacuum packs it, and then it seals it. Well, then what that does is that seal, right, you put the seal on top, that seal keeps everything good on the inside, and that seal keeps all the impurities and everything bad on the outside, therefore preserving the food for a later date, okay? So that's what happens with your born-again spirit, is that the Holy Spirit preserves, right? It keeps the good in, it keeps the bad out, and so it seals. So the Holy Spirit is the one that God creates. He creates that brand new spirit, and then he seals it by the power of the Holy Spirit, preserving it. So when you fail in any area of your life after being saved, that defilement, that uncleanness, that sin that comes to your body and to your mind because of that sin, it doesn't penetrate your spirit. Let me say that again. When you sin, and we're going to get more into detail, when you sin, that sin can get into your mind and it can get into your body, but that sin cannot get into your spirit. In other words, the effects of that sin, you mess up, that sin can get into your mind. It can cause depression and anxiety and fear and all those things, right? That sin can get into your mind. It can get into your body. Like when you sin, that's an open road to the devil, Romans 6:16, where now he can actually bring sickness, death, and disease. Because remember, until Adam fell, the earth was perfect in Genesis. But the second that Adam sinned, Romans 5 says that through death, or through sin, death entered. Well, what does that mean? When he sinned, that gave Satan legality or legal permission to come and bring death, destruction into the earth, because God delegated the authority of the world to Adam. So he had legal right to do with the world as he wanted to. And when he sinned, he had the legal right to do that. He had legal right to give the rule of the world, because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. Well, when God created Adam, he made him the little g god, the little god of this world. And even Jesus said that in the book of John, and it may have been Luke, but we can look at that. But anyways, he made him the ruler, dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 28, it says he gave him dominion. All that meant is that he is delegated authority. So he wasn't God, but he gave him delegated authority over the earth, and then Adam had legal right to do with that the world as he saw fit. Kind of like, you know, and that's a whole nother topic and illustration stuff. But so when he sinned, that gave Satan legality or legal right, permission to come in and bring that death and destruction. So when you sin, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to explain in further detail and go deeper into this. But when you sin, it gives Satan legality to bring sickness into your body and to bring stuff into your mind. But that sin cannot enter into your born again spirit because it's been sealed and perfected, as we're going to talk about, by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So you ask the question, what holds me in position and keeps me from perishing, even though there are times when I fail and sin? Well, here it is. It's that Jesus bore all of my sin on the cross. He bore all of my sin, and we're going to talk about that. Eternal redemption, eternal inheritance. See, Jesus didn't just bear all of your sin up until the point you got saved. No, He bore all of your sin, past, present, and future tense sin. You said, oh, God can't forgive his sin before it happens. Well, you better hope so, because he died 2,000 years ago. None of the stuff you had done had happened yet, and yet he released forgiveness through the power of the cross 2,000 years ago for anybody that would receive Jesus by faith and the blood of Jesus by faith. But that happened 2,000 years ago. You hadn't even been born yet. And yet, so all your sins were after the cross. So if God can't forgive a sin before it happens, then he couldn't have forgiven your sins, you know, because none of that had happened before, you know, because the cross hadn't happened yet. So all your sins were future tense. You see what I'm saying? Right. So, but it says, scripture says that he bore all of our sin. And we're going to go into this. We're going to talk about once saved, always saved. We're, you know, or is it once saved, always saved, or is it, you know, saved, lost, you know, all those. We're going to talk about those questions, okay? We're going to talk about that. But here's the thing. You said, Wes, what holds me in position and keeps me from perishing, even though there are times that I fail in sin? Well, it's that Jesus bore all of your sins on the cross. And it's your faith in him. It's your faith in him that you're justified, right? So your faith in him, not faith in your works, that saves you, right? And you are made righteous. You're justified. You're made righteous before God through your faith in him, not by your actions in him. Because if your actions could save you, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But your actions couldn't save you. It was only the new birth that could save you. See, remember we said heaven and hell is determined by which nature do you have? Well, we were all born with that fallen nature. So no amount of your actions could ever change that sin nature. It took Jesus dying and being resurrected on the third day for you to be born again. And through your faith in that, right, you have faith in what Jesus did, and it's this beautiful exchange of where now, Lord, I believe that you took my punishment, and by faith I'm receiving what you deserve, the righteousness, peace, joy, and everything that you deserve. It's this beautiful exchange. So I'm receiving what he deserved by faith. He's imputing what he deserves to me, and then he bore everything that I deserved. You know what I'm saying? And it's this beautiful exchange. But no amount of my being good or my actions could ever change the sin nature, the fallen spirit on the inside of me. What's the only thing that could do that? What's the only remedy? Is God had to recreate my born again spirit. And I mentioned this and I'll say it again. It's like a donkey. You can have a donkey, you dress it up, and let's say we're going to take it to the Kentucky Derby. You dress it up like a thoroughbred, you train it like a thoroughbred, and then you feed it like a thoroughbred. You take it to the Kentucky Derby, and when the gates open, what's it going to run like? It's going to run like a thoroughbred. Why? Because that is its nature. It's going to run like a donkey. Why? Because that's its nature. It was born a donkey. So the only way for it to become a thoroughbred, it would have to be what? Reborn as a thoroughbred so that its nature is a thoroughbred. Therefore, it can act like a thoroughbred. Well, that's what it was. You were born a donkey. You were born a sinner. And so the only way for you to become a thoroughbred or righteous is you had to be reborn or recreated righteous in your spirit. That's what the new birth did. So there's no amount of your actions that can ever save you. So Jesus bore all of your sin. And then when you believe on that, your sins are paid for, past, present, and future tense sins. We're going to look at other scriptures to verify that. Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to go deep, okay? But you are made righteous through your faith in what Jesus did for you. See, you have to come to this conclusion. And the sooner you come to it, the better you are. You can't save yourself. Your faith in what Jesus is the only thing that can save you. Your self-righteousness can't save you, okay? So now let's look at Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And let's dive deep into this. And so this is where Paul, in the book of Romans, and this is one of the, you know, he's really teaching, you know, about salvation. He's systematically, in the book of Romans, helping us understand the gospel. So in chapter 4, he's talking about how we're justified by faith. And then he gives two examples. Abraham was justified by faith in God, not by his own works. And then David, right, was celebrating this same truth that he was looking forward. He was under the old covenant at the moment, but the Holy Spirit gave him a revelation of the new covenant to come, right? And then he was looking at the blessedness of the new covenant and what it was going to do for the people that would be here for that time, okay? So here's a key. Write this down. David saw through the Holy Spirit that one day through the new covenant, God would impute righteousness, right standing, without or apart from man working for it. Okay? And now let's verify this from Scripture. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And let's start in verse 5 because it's powerful. So Romans 4, 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him, Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes, right, righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those, and this is quoting Psalms chapter 32, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, here it is, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not or will not impute sin. Okay? It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So David, through the Holy Spirit, gave him a glimpse into the new covenant of what it was going to be like and how blessed that was going to be. And he saw that one day through the new covenant that God would impute his righteousness to people, give them right standing apart from or without man working for it. How? By faith. So it's not by performance. It is by faith in what Jesus did. So when you look at verse 8 right there, it says, will not impute sin. Right? It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay, so what we're talking about today, what happens when a Christian sins? So David was looking forward to the new covenant, the New Testament that me and you are in, and he says, man, blessed are those, talking about me and you, blessed are those to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, the Old Testament, God imputed sin to you. If you messed up, he imputed sin to you. And we're going to talk about the purpose of law and all those things. We're going to explain stuff. But he was looking forward to where we're at in the new covenant, okay? So if you think about it, when it says will not impute sin there in verse 8, in the Greek that is an emphatic negative. What does that mean? It reads like this. It means he'll never, not ever, put sin to your account, right? I'm going to say that again. So what this is saying, it says that God will not, blesses a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's an emphatic negative in the Greek, and it means that God will never, not ever, put sin to your account if you're saved, right? And so that's what he's talking about. So if you're saved, when you sin, because your sins have already been paid for, past, present, and future tense sins, and we're going to verify all this in Scripture, so just hang with me, okay? Don't hang up the phone, right? But that's why this is the good news of the covenant. This is good news. And most of what you're hearing in churches and stuff nowadays is not the good news of the gospel. This is good news. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. All right, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And it says this, and this is in Hebrews, and we're going to get to there, but Hebrews is contrasting where it's talking about, it's contrasting the old covenant and the new covenant. And it's saying, stop relating to God via the old covenant and start relating to God via the new covenant. And it's contrasting the differences. And it's trying to get believers to stop relating to God via the Old Testament and performance-based, stuff, and get them to relate in that, hey, understand who you are in Christ and start relating to God based upon who you are in the new birth. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it says, and this is God speaking, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So we're talking about what happens when a Christian sins. Well, because of the new birth, Jesus has paid for all of your sins if you've accepted him. That blood was applied, and now your sins have been wiped out like they don't even forget, like they don't even exist, okay? And that's the good news of the gospel, all right? And now you have eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, as we're going to talk about. And so you say, Wes, wait, hold up. What are you saying? Are you saying that God will love me and I won't lose my right standing with him no matter what? Are you saying that I can just go live in sin? Well, here's the thing. Paul dealt with that question multiple times, and next episode, we're going to deal with that question, okay? So Paul dealt with that question. Where people were asking him in Romans chapter 6, he said, so are you saying we can just go live in sin? And he said, God forbid, and we're going to answer those questions. But here's the thing, is you have, when you get saved, you have eternal redemption, eternal salvation, and we're going to continue on and look at this. So, because Paul dealt with that question, and we're going to look at that in depth next episode and stuff, but we got more for this episode here, so don't jump off. So here's the key. If this question, right, so you're saying I can just go live in sin, that question, are you saying I can just go live in sin? If this is not an obvious question that comes to your mind when you hear the gospel, then you are not hearing the same gospel as Paul, all right? I'm going to say it again. You're saying, Wes, that I'm forgiven. If Jesus paid for all my sins, so you're saying I can just go live in sin now because all my sins are paid for? If this question doesn't come to mind when you're hearing something preached, then you are not hearing the same gospel as Paul. And we're going to dive into this because Paul says that four times, two times in the book of Romans and two times in the book of Galatians. So if that thought does not come up into your thinking while you're hearing the gospel, you are not hearing the same thing that Paul preached. Okay? And we're going to go deep in this. We're going to look at this and verify. Okay? So what holds you in position in righteousness and right standing even when you sin? Here's the thing. It's your faith in Jesus. It's your faith in Jesus. Okay? So here's the thing. Most Christians, they're taught, and we're going to talk about, you know, once saved, always saved, born again, again, and those different things and stuff. But I want to really focus on this. See, most Christians, they're taught that their performance affects their relationship with God. See, and that's why you have no boldness to come before God, because you think that your performance dictates your relationship with God, because you don't understand the new birth. You don't understand what happened when you got saved. You're trying to be something you already are that. I mean, that's the title of this, the revelation of righteousness. You were born righteous in the new birth, so stop trying to be what you already are, and then just get your mind renewed to who you actually are in your born again spirit, and then you'll begin to walk out and you'll actually start living life more holy than on accident than trying. See, because some people, they say, when you hear this, they're thinking, well, you're just giving people a license to sin. No, I have the same goal. I want people to live holy, but we live holy because God loves us and we are forgiven. And that's who I am in my born again spirit, not to get God to accept me. I live holy because it's beneficial to me and because I love God and because I want to, but not to get God to accept me, because he accepted me and he accepts you only based upon the new birth. He doesn't accept you based upon your performance. And that's what this was saying in Romans 4. You are justified or made right, just as if I'd never sinned. You are made right, righteous. You have right standing with God because you have faith in what Jesus did. And then the new birth makes you righteous and gives you right standing. Right? So God is the one that makes man righteous. That's what Romans chapter 1 says. It says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. In other words, God is the gospel is God's method, his means of how he makes you and me and mankind righteous. So it's not about your performance, okay? So I'm all about people living holy and stuff, because it's, and we're going to talk about that. All right? We're going to answer those questions and stuff. We really are. We're going to talk about, are you saying I can just go live in sin? The next episode, we're going to dive into that in deep. So, but both of us, the holiness camp that preaches, well, you better be holy, you better be holy or God will. I'm after people living a holy life because there's life and peace, right? Your life is going to be better with that, right? We're going to answer those questions just like those other people. The only thing is, I'm presenting a better way for people to actually walk in holiness than trying to just beat you over the head. I'm trying to get you to realize that at the new birth, you are made righteous and holy. So stop trying to be what you already are, and then just begin to acknowledge, Philemon 1:6, acknowledge every good thing that's in you. When I acknowledge that, hey, I am the righteousness of God in my born again spirit, who I am was changed, and I begin to say, I am the righteousness of God, and I begin to confess that and agree with that, you know what's going to happen? My actions are going to follow suit. Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. Well, if you always think that you're not righteous trying to get it, you're always going to act unrighteous, because you think that you're not righteous, therefore you're going to act unrighteous because you're trying to get it thinking that you don't have it. But when I start to acknowledge and understand, wait, I am righteous because of the new birth. I'm not trying to get it. I am righteous. Wait, God made me righteous, my born-again spirit. And then I begin to agree with that and to acknowledge that and think on that. Then as I think, so shall I be. My actions will follow suit, and then my life will be a life of holiness and stuff. And so we're after the same end result. It's just, I'm telling you, biblically speaking, the New Testament way, this is how you get to a life of holiness, is that you start with acknowledging, wait, God, through the new birth, made me holy, made me righteous. And as I agree with that, that begins to, that's my thinking. And then I start, you know, my actions start looking like that. Remember, I gave you the example of how, you know, whenever I was battling porn, this is what God showed me to do. He didn't say, Wes, just stop porn. No, he said, listen, you need to start agreeing with who you are via the new birth. So I started saying, okay, owning, confessing, wait, I am there. And as I began to see, wait, this is me. God did make me righteous. I am righteous. I am whole. And as I began to see myself that way, because that's who I was through the new birth, then as I began to think that, you know what happened? So was I. My actions began to reflect the thinking and the understanding of who I was in Christ now. That was the true me. The true me was righteous and holy. So God was like, hey, just get your mind in agreement with who you are in the Spirit, and then your actions will follow suit. Does that make sense? So I'm after the goal. So people when they hear this, they think, well, you're just trying to give people excuse to be able to sin. No, actually, it's quite the opposite. Is that the grace of God? Titus chapter 2 says that the grace of God, verses 11, 12, the grace of God, like, let's look at that real quick. The grace of God is what leads us, you know, causes us to you know, have, you know, a holy life. Let's look at that real quick. I'll make sure and quote that exactly the way it is. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. See, I want people to live, I want them to deny ungodliness. I want them to deny worldly lust. I want them to live soberly and righteously and godly. But the way that you do it is not by me beating you over the head to do it. It's me helping you understand that through the new birth, you are made righteous, and then get you to begin to agree with, own, accept that, have a revelation of your new identity, and begin to confess and agree with it. And as you do that, as you think, so are you. And then your actions begin to reflect righteousness. They will begin to reflect godliness, that begin to reflect the things of God. So I'm after the same thing as those other people. I'm just trying to tell you biblically how you get there instead of a tradition of men that is condemning you. I'm trying to get you to understand, hey, stop trying to be what you already are and just begin to meditate on the scriptures and see what God did for you through the new birth. You are righteous. You were born that way. So now just begin to accept, confess, acknowledge, admit, and own. That's what acknowledge means. Acknowledge means to admit, confess, accept, and own. I'm owning that I am righteous through the new birth. It's because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did. And that's humbling. And I'm okay with that because he saved me, right? He saved me through the washing of the water of the word. He saved me through the regeneration and renewing in the Holy Spirit, okay? So, man, this is powerful. Right, so here's the thing. Most Christians are taught that their performance affects their relationship with God, okay? And then the people that also teach that, they say that when you're born again, you're forgiven, you're cleansed, and you become a brand new person. However, those people, they believe that every time you sin, that you lose your right standing with God until you confess that particular sin and put it under the blood too. They believe that if you don't, that, you know, that God's displeased with you. They believe that that if you mess up and you don't confess that God's displeased with you and that he can't accept you. They teach that, you know, if you die before repenting and confessing of all those sins, that you would go to hell. In a sense, what they're saying is they're saying that you must be born again. But here's the thing. That's not what the word teaches. Okay. And if you'll give me some episodes, I'm going to walk you through the word to help you understand this. Because when you understand this, this will set you free from sin, not set you free to sin. See, that's the fear. People say, well, you're setting people free to sin. No, I'm setting people free from sin, setting them free from a sin consciousness. And I had a preach one time, your theology is bananas, and we're going to talk about that. But if I say, don't think about the color green, don't think about the color green, don't think about the color green, what did you just start noticing everywhere in your car, or if you're driving, or in your office, or in your house? You just started thinking green. Why? Because what you focus on, that's what you're going to be consumed with, and that's what your action is going to look like. Well, to preach sin all the time, it's actually counterproductive, because it's just like people are going to be sin conscious instead of righteousness conscious. So when God began to get me to think about righteousness and who I am in Christ and to focus on that, you know what happened? I naturally wasn't focused on sin, and I was focused on righteousness. And because of that, I began to have righteousness, you know, carried out and manifested in my actions, because that's what I was thinking about, right? So these people that you know, they teach that, you know, hey, every time you sin, you lose your right standing. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. You are, and we're going to see, we're going to talk about perfected forever and sealed. That's our next segment here. But listen, there's no such thing as born again. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about if you renounce your faith, and we're going to talk about that in the episode talking about, you know, is it once saved, always saved, or is it saved, lost, and saved, lost every time you sin? We're going to answer that, okay? But You can't be, once if you renounce your faith and you're not saved anymore, you cannot be born again. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that, okay? So, but we're going to talk about this. So every time you sin, you don't lose your right standing with God, okay? And we're going to talk about all these other things and go in detail and stuff, but I want to talk about perfected forever, okay? Perfected forever. So Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 says this. It says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Okay, this is Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14. It says that he hath. That's past tense. So if you're a believer, he hath. That means it's already done. He has already perfected, past tense again, you forever. That's time. So when you get saved, your spirit, as we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, it's your spirit that was made perfect. When you got saved, he made your spirit perfect. And then, so it was perfected forever. But then you have to understand, it was your spirit that got perfected. And it's been perfected forever, all time, because he paid for all your sins. Okay? So let's look at this. It says, "For by one offering, he hath already," all right, means past tense, "he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." So that's all time. You're perfected. Your spirit was perfected for all time. Okay. Sanctified means that it means set apart or sealed. And we talked about you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 helps us understand that it was your spirit that got perfected. Okay. Hebrews 12, 23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God and judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." To the spirits of just men made perfect. See, you have to understand, it was your spirit when you got born again that was perfected forever, okay? See, your spirit was, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit regenerated and renewed it, Titus 3:5. It was perfected and then sealed that way, and it's perfected forever. Now, we're going to answer a question, you know, well, so that means just once saved, always saved? No. Listen, God didn't make you get saved, and if you decide that you want to renounce your faith, and we're going to talk about all those things, you can't actually renounce your faith and you not be saved again. And we're going to answer those questions and stuff, okay? And we're going to talk about that in the next episodes. So, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that when you get to heaven, you get a new spirit. See, you get a new spirit when you confess Christ at the new birth. It's because the book of John says, 1 John says that we have eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. You have eternal life, a brand new born again spirit on the inside of you right now if you're saved. Okay, so you're going to get a new body and you're going to get a new mind in heaven, but your spirit has already been perfected. And so that's what we're going to talk about here, right? See, here's a key. Your spirit is the only part of you that has been born of God. Your soul, which is your mind, will, emotions, and conscience, and your body, they've been purchased, but they've not yet been redeemed. All right? But your spirit right now has already, that part of your three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit has already been purchased and redeemed. And then your mind and your body, it's been purchased, but it's not been redeemed. Let me give you an example. So let's say I go to a football game. I purchase the tickets, okay? So they're purchased, and those tickets represent seats, okay? So because I purchased it, that means that I own the seats, right? That means I own those seats. But they're not redeemed until I go to the game and I take my tickets and I redeem them at the game. I take my tickets. The seats are already purchased. They belong to me. It's my possession, but they are not redeemed or in my possession. They're purchased in the fact that they belong to me, but they're not in my possession until I redeem it. So when I go to the gate, right, I already own it, but it's not in my possession yet. See, God saved you spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit was purchased and it was redeemed in the fact that right now you have a born-again spirit. Right? If you're saved, you have a born-again spirit. So you possess that. But you don't have a new mind and a new body until you get to heaven. So those are purchased, but they're not redeemed until you get to heaven. Just like I buy the tickets now, they're purchased, but they're not in my possession until I go to the game and I redeem them. But your spirit is purchased and redeemed because it's been purchased in the fact that it's made new, but it's redeemed in the fact that you possess it right now. You have a brand new spirit inside of you right now that's perfect and holy because that's what happened through the new birth. Does that make sense? All right. So next episode, we're going to deal with the same question that Paul dealt with. Okay. So the question was, so are you saying I can just go live in sin? And we're going to answer that question. And then the upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about, is it once saved, always saved? Because you're saying, wait, Wes, if Jesus paid for my sins for all time and I'm perfected forever, then is it once saved, always saved, like some believe? Or is it, okay, I'm saved, but then if I sin, I lose my salvation, and then, you know, I have to get born again and all those other things. Well, as we've kind of briefly touched today, your spirit was perfected forever, right? So it's not once saved, always saved, and it's not saved, lost, born again. It's not either one of those, okay? And we're going to go in detail and talk about that. But next episode, we're going to deal with the same question that Paul dealt with of, so you're saying, Wes, wait, Jesus paid for all my sins, eternal salvation, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance. So you're saying I can just go live in sin? All right, we're going to answer that question on the next episode and go in depth and go in detail to help you understand, okay? And so, listen, hey guys, that's it for today. If you haven't done it yet, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. If this has blessed you in any way and helped you to grow in the Word and your relationship with the Lord, hey, help us to reach more people. Go give us that 5-star rating. And also, if you haven't done it as well, we have that free resource there for you. It's called The Revelation of Righteousness. It's a list of scriptures and on righteousness and help you understand what happened at the new birth. And I really think that's going to bless you. Take your Bible out and go through those and meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, because this is God's message. This is God's message to you of what He did for you in Christ. And so ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of this. And hey, guys, until next time, remember, the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Power for Victorious Living. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out the website at powerforvictoriousliving.com. And remember, the gospel has the power to help you live a victorious life.